Welcome to another broadcast of Celebrating Truth with Dr. E. Fay Williams, Esquire, on the Artist First Radio Network. Dr. Williams currently serves as National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and President of Natural Health Options. All past shows can be downloaded free on demand. Visit the archives for Dr. Williams and Celebrating Truth at artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you, Tony. Good evening. I'm Fay Williams, your host. And welcome to Celebrating Truth, brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. Our Celebrating Truth producer is Ms. Clem Clark out in San Francisco, and Clem has hosted the show in my absence, and she brings great guests to the show frequently. I trust that you've already celebrated the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today. I know that I have. This is a federal observance set aside in honor of Dr. King, and may we never forget the sacrifices Dr. King made to bring to us where we are today, especially women, minorities, poor people, people with disabilities, and so many others. We must never, never forget Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all who worked so hard and gave so much. Indeed, Dr. King gave his life for enforcing our rights. I had the honor of being the keynote speaker for the St. Mary's County College up in, south of Maryland, in their observance early this morning. And let me tell you, they came out, the house was packed. We want to remind our listeners to not forget one of the main events of this year, and that is the 2012 elections. And of course, the Republicans are already campaigning 24/7. During the next several months, we will keep you updated with some challenges and vote to voting in 2012, sort of like an orchestrated effort to prevent some of us from voting. But anyway, don't forget to register and update your own registration so that you will be ready for those hoping to suppress your vote. There is a lot going on, but you have the power to stop the intended effect. Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. We're the number one organization dedicated especially to the needs of black women and their families. And we invite all of our listeners to visit our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org. That's BW for black women, nationalcongressbw.org. And you'll find lots of great information there, including greetings by our wonderful First Lady, Michelle Obama, when she spoke to our luncheon in September of this past year. Our first guest today is Art Rocker, my good friend. We've traveled all over together in recent months, along with Dick Gregory. And first of all, Art, how are you, and welcome to Washington.
Thank you so much, and it's always great to be here in D.C., and particularly to participate on this show. As I have not had an opportunity to discuss, but the Martin Luther King Day, which is today and this weekend there in the Gulf Coast region, we had the National Congress of Black Women there in the Mobile area, as well as they had an affair there where they brought in a number of youth. There was over 100-plus youth that packed the house out, and many of the BP climates, and the youth came out because the National Congress of Black Women was very effective dealing with the awareness of crime issues in those areas, and brought in several people with the Sheriff Department to talk to the youth and everything else. And it was one great day there in Mount Vernon, Alabama, where your Mobile organization. And then we moved over to Gulfport, Mississippi, where I think you have a new chapter starting there, from my understanding with some of the women that was there. And they had a pack house. We had over 600 people there, and half of them was youth that came out for the Martin Luther King Day, and as well as the fact of coming off our 2012 campaign against BP, dealing with the oil spill. So we have had a very successful week leading up to this birthday, and I'm thankful to be here.
Well, I want to thank you for all the help you've been in helping us to establish those chapters that you mentioned down in Mobile and in Gulfport, and we look forward to establishing many, many more. I know we've been to Houston together on the BP program, and, of course, we're getting one started there. So you've been most helpful, and I'm most appreciative of you, because the more we organize, the more we'll be able to do for people like those who have been injured in that British Petroleum disastrous oil spill in 2010. You know, Art, I have heard so much about BP. I've been listening to television lately, and I've seen a woman by the name of Iris Cross on, and she's just been bragging about how well things are going in the Gulf, and how she was, you know, she grew up there, and everything seems to be okay in her mind. I think you probably have a different story to tell on behalf of the underserved there and the underrepresented in the Gulf. Let's talk a little bit about where we are right now on getting the underserved paid.
Well, in reference to the ideology that the Gulf Coast region is doing well, as BP spews out everywhere on practically every television station all over America, and they inundate all TVs for spots every hour on the hour. I do believe that what really prompted was the fact that so many radio stations that you have been on dealing with the public all over the Gulf Coast region allow your voice to be heard, and your voice has been carried out for the underserved and underrepresented. And as you articulate so well, there are two institutions that exist in our society, and it is really considered an industry: our church and black women. And what has happened is both of these have had devastating effects due to the BP oil spill. Dr. William, what has really taken place is the fact that they talk in terms of certain places on the beach is doing very well, but all of the inner city places are losing money, as well as the fact when I was there in your region where you started an organization, the Gulfport, Mississippi, the lady came up and discussed with me, who's over the Mississippi hotels, stated that that entire industry there is totally gone in Mississippi. Their workers are gone. There's no one booking hotel rooms. So when this happened, you kill an entire economy of those folks who change those sheets, because there's thousands of them all along the Gulf Coast, as well as the fact we do know and realize that there's no cash. People are not able to fish and sell fish on the side. They're not able to even, at one time, they used to have what they call jetlers, and I later learned there in the Mobile area, most of them are dried up. People cannot even afford to even put the cash out for jetlers, even due to not only the gas price, but to the fact that they're not making any cash at all part-time. So we're dealing with a situation where we've lost $146 billion in the Gulf Coast region and over $50 billion in cash. And this is what is affecting our entire economy in that area. So it's not good. I think it's good for them to perpetrate and to say these things are happening, but when we have turned in over 10,000 claims, and as of today, finally, through the work of you and Dick Gregory, and going miles and miles, thousands of miles all over the Gulf Coast region, finally, after a year and a half of BP and Ken Feinberg, the czar of BP claims, deciding to give the people even ID numbers or claim numbers, which they refused to do for a year and a half to these poor people. And finally, you all have forced them to at least begin to give claim numbers.
Well, now, Art, look at the millions. I mean, you know how expensive a public relations campaign is, an ad. What do you think when you see all of those ads that BP has on?
If you talk in terms of dollars, BP stated that we will do a $30 million advertisement campaign per month. So they spending $1 million a day. Most of our claimants don't even have claims of that amount. Our claims of 0.0001. Most of our claimants even put in claims for $1,000. They have not received anything. And so BP is very good at putting on a propaganda situation for the community. But deep down within, not only deep down within the ocean, there's all type of ecological problems. Deep down within the hearts of the community, particularly in the minority community, they are hurting due to this oil spill.
Now, wouldn't you say that with all the money they're spending, I know you sort of said it in a way, but with all the money BP is spending on that public relations campaign, that they could have paid the people we represent, the people we're talking about? Wouldn't you think so?
Well, I guess BP feels the same way their corporate execs, when we first got started, they came to a meeting that we had there in New Orleans at Reverend Alan Creese's church. We had about 65 ministers there, and there was two corporate execs that came from BP. And they stated that to be poor is systemic to the Gulf Coast region. It's systemic also to the folks who was down there where the oil spill came in. And they're not going to do anything to change that situation.
That seems a horrible way for a company that claims to be concerned about the Gulf Coast and the people there. I would say that what we have been doing over the past several months, even though the people have not been paid yet, apparently British Petroleum feels that we have done some damage to their image. Do you think that's why they're spending all of that money on trying to rebuild their image?
Well, for instance, I think last month, a month before last, or since you've been involved, there's been at least 10 to 15 shows that you went on within a period of a month or so, a month and a half. I believe, and then there was others that we had that went on other shows. We are averaging quite a number of shows, and even just this weekend alone, we got Dick Gregory was on the Tom Jordan show. He kicked off that show concerning the 2012 campaign, particularly against BP, as well as the issue of him going into court and dealing with the issue. We are able to reach the media because a lot of folks, they have not tricked. And there are a number of people allow us on in order to talk about this situation. And just Friday, there was a recording for Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida with the NPR stations in those target areas, that there was an announcement made, and they kicked off the public on public radio dealing with the issue of BP and the Martin Luther King Day. And several people talked, including myself, for about 20 minutes, kicking off the MLK Day and BP. So they're going to have to reach back a little deeper, and seems to me it'll be greater if they take that $30 million and at least give it to the underserved and the underrepresented and the children to really make them whole. But I don't believe that BP is willing to do that.
Now, Art, I know that at Christmas, because people still had not been paid by British Petroleum and many of them still have no jobs, no way to feed their families, I know that you and some of the ministers down in the South, in the Gulf Coast area, had a big project. Would you tell our listeners about what that was you did since these people have not been paid by British Petroleum?
I was able to get with some churches and raise thousands of dollars. And we was able to feed over 14,000 pounds of food. We gave away red beans and rice, macaroni and cheese, and turkeys. And let me report to you, at every stop, we said that we went to five stops in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, a total of five stops. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm here to give you a sad report. We only could feed 200 families. And what happened, at every stop, there was more than at least 400 families or more.
Well,
all of these folks was claimants,
mm-hmm.
people whom have lost with BP. A lot of these people was single moms. A lot of them was grandmamas who was taking care of children. And our last stop, which was over where your district was, for the Congress of Black Women, we had over 330 families, and it so happens that I was able to make a phone call, and we was able to get in some additional red beans and some rice. And Dr. William, the line was a block long, and to get a bag of red beans and rice. And there was a question asked to the people as they come up, particularly the last ones when we began to run out. They stated that just give us the red beans and rice, and we're thankful that y'all was here. Every last one of them stood in line for that. And my point is that people are hungry. They had children out there. Those red beans and rice could feed them a meal for 2 or 3 days with the protein it has. Then we turned back around this weekend, the Martin Luther King weekend, and it was decided that what we would do is cook. And I had the churches. We had 10 or 15 churches over in the Mobile area and women from National Congress of Black Women to go in there and cook. And we fed a number of families, hundreds of families right there in the Mount Vernon, Alabama area where they came in to eat free. And we served them a dinner, as well as over on Gulfport. We did likewise.
Well, Art, I know that you've done quite a lot of work, and at one time, I know that we planned to step up our boycott, even to have Mr. Gregory fast for a long period of time and go to jail, perhaps, for this project. Now, we were supposed to do that around Thanksgiving, but what is it that caused our group to decide to put that aside for the moment?
Well, what happened is that we had an opportunity to meet with some of the Congress people, and it was told that maybe we could have a greater opportunity of meeting with some of the Congress folks in order to sit down with Ken Feinberg to try to resolve this issue. Well, we did that. Ken Feinberg shown up, and we was asked to bring at least 30 or 40 ministers there, and we had a packed house. That's all we could get in. After doing so, we was led under the impression that these claims would be paid by Christmas. It did not happen. What happened is something that we've been waiting on for a year and a half. Ken Feinberg requested dissolve for BP, dissolve claims for BP, requested that we turn in all of these claimants to his Washington, D.C. office. And he stated that he would pay the people within 30 days, and almost over a year and a half, he hasn't. And not only that, no one had an opportunity to get a BP claim number. You can't pay unless you get a claim number. And finally, since we have been doing what we have done, and the sacrifices that have been made by so many leadership, including yourself and Dick Gregory, and what has happened is finally he's decided to get claims number. This could be the beginning that he might decide to pay claims. But this year is the beginning for us to not only go into the Gulf Coast to feed the people, to continue to muster the people together and continue our goal towards getting these claims paid for the underserved and underrepresented.
So our group has, in good faith, held to the moratorium while we were still trying to help the people, but Kenneth Feinberg, the czar, or the person, the administrator who's in charge of the funds, did not uphold his end of the bargain. Is that what I understand you to be saying?
That is correct. And he once again, this is his 18th time, that he never lived up to anything he said he would do. We had met with him the year before, before Christmas, on November the 7th. And he said every claim he felt confident would be paid by Christmas. And that was 2009, and it wasn't done. So,
for those of you who are just joining us, I'm Faye Williams, your host for Celebrating Truth. We're talking with Art Rocker, who is head of People for Peace, and he's talking about the things that we've been trying to do to get the poor people who have suffered in that disastrous oil spill along the Gulf Coast. We're trying to give them help while they're waiting to be paid by British Petroleum. So I would suggest that you selectively use British Petroleum. They need to understand that they cannot damage our communities without making up for it. And while they have paid some of the wealthier, well-connected politically and otherwise people, it is the poor people that are suffering because they have nothing else to do. And so I want to applaud you, Art, and the ministers
Thank
who
you.
Got together and decided to do what
Thank
you could to help them in the meantime.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join the great things that we do in the community as the National Congress of Black Women, you've heard Mr. Rocker talk about the things that we have been doing across the country, and I'm especially proud of our Mobile chapter and our people down in the Gulf Coast who are working with Mr. Rocker now and trying to get things resolved for the people there. But in the meantime, they're not waiting. They're helping to feed the people, and we applaud them for that. But if you'd like to join the great things that we're doing in communities across the nation, let us know by calling us at 202-678-6788. That's 202-678-6788. We are the National Congress of Black Women. And maybe you'd like to be a donor to some of our community service programs. You can do that at www.nationalcongressbw.org. And don't forget, when you come to Washington, D.C., stop by the Capitol Visitor Center and see Sojourner Truth, the memorial in CBW, our National Congress of Black Women, donated to the United States Congress nearly 3 years ago. Now Sojourner Truth presides over Emancipation Hall. And she's the first African-American woman to be unveiled there. She is the very first, but hopefully she won't be the last. And so we celebrate truth in the Capitol. Another thing that we were celebrating today in Washington and all across the country is that of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he too has a wonderful, wonderful memorial here. So when you're in Washington, D.C., be sure that you stop by to see the memorial to Dr. Martin Luther King. We are going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back.
Now back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Corey, and I'm Faye Williams. Welcome back to Celebrating Truth. We're here every Monday, and we enjoy bringing this show to you, bringing to you things that you don't often hear about on mainstream media, but it doesn't mean they're not happening. We have wonderful things going on across the country where people are volunteering to do all kinds of things. We're talking with Dr. Art Rocker, and we were talking about the kinds of things he and ministers are doing down south in the Gulf Coast to help people while they're waiting for British Petroleum with all its multi-billions of dollars. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing to make up for the damage that they have done to people. But in the meantime, we're not waiting. We're trying to help as much as we can. He mentioned earlier, for those of you who are just joining us, Dick Gregory, Mr. Rocker and I have been working along with several other people in the Gulf to try to help the poor people to sustain themselves while we're waiting on British Petroleum. But at the same time, we see that British Petroleum is bragging about what it's doing down in the Gulf Coast. They're spending millions and millions of dollars on a public relations campaign trying to overcome what we are doing to show them for what they really are. It's a non-caring company. Now, we know that those stations are all across, particularly black neighborhoods. There's so many BP stations all over the place. And what they're doing now is trying to pay off a few people, give money to a few people so that they won't be out there complaining about the poor people who've not been paid. But we're just not going to allow that to happen. We continue to work, and we're grateful to Dr. Art Rocker for leading that. Now, Dr. Rocker, as we went to break, we were talking about what we're doing right now and trying to get the people paid. And I just want to ask the question for the benefit of our listeners, where do we go from here? We've tried. I know we're not stopping, but where do we go from here?
Well, we will continue what we've done faithfully, and we'll continue to pray. And in our prayers, we'll continue to pray for those that are underserved and underrepresented, and as well as the fact, while doing so, we are going to continue to go into those areas and feed the people. We are developing a campaign, a radio phone that we're working on, and we're working on a number of issues dealing with national media as well as radio phone, and the listening audience need to contact you concerning other ideology and other ideas than the Gulf Coast. But, for instance, there in the Mount Vernon, Alabama area, they own some land, and since there was such a big turnout of youth there, and the youth in that target area, there was plans to build this area for youth. Before the BP, it was the blueprint laid out by the church and everyone else that they wanted to do, because in that one target area, there's nothing for the youth to do unless they go at least 12 miles out. It's a majority African-American city and town. It has a population somewhere around 6,000 folks and half of them youth. And so what we're going to do is work with them on their project and get volunteers and churches that we are now organizing, and we'll be meeting over in Mount Vernon, Alabama, to do the footing and lay out a plan to begin to build that building. Secondly, over in the Gulfport, Mississippi area, where we had a huge complex was built over there right after Katrina. They thought that they had really gotten on their feet. They built a large complex over there. They housed somewhere around 700 or 800 families. And the next thing you know, the BP hit. These was people who received Section 8, and it was paying very low costs for housing, and they had part-time jobs. And now they're sitting there suffering. So what we're anticipating of doing is working there, and the next week when I go back there, we're looking at acquiring some additional land and continue to raise money for those folks so that they will have a place to send those kids where we can shelter food, because what we got to do is come up with a place that we can store food and give the people what their needs and proteins for the Gulf Coast region, and we have chose Gulfport, Mississippi, to house the food. Then we're going over to New Orleans, where Dr. Byron Clay is, and then I'll be meeting with Clay the third week of this month, and he has some sites and homes that we might look at so that all the folks that's a part of us as claimants will have a place where they can call, a place where they can come, where we can try to provide not only some used clothing as well as some beans and rice for these people, because they too need help. And we will continue our situation. We've contacted the Congressional Caucus, the Congressional Black Caucus, Congressman Cleaver's office. We're waiting to get a meeting with him to carry it to another level. Congressman Sheila Lee has done an outstanding job for us. She, too, is making arrangements for us to come to visit with them. And then, too, one of the things that it was decided with all the ministers, we have over 400 ministers in the Gulf Coast region. We have decided that we have recognized there are two presidents that actually deal with this oil spill. One of them named is Dudley, who is the president of BP.
Robert Dudley, yes.
Robert Dudley. The other gentleman is our great president, Barack Obama. President Obama was the one that made the recommendation for Kenneth Feinberg to be the czar of claims. Now, with this in mind, we have just began to develop a scroll, and when I was in Mount Vernon, Mobile, and Gulfport, we are putting ministers on this scroll. This scroll would be the original signature of the ministers, his church. We will have people who sign for different organizations as well. And some of the churches are affiliated with 38 churches. Some of them affiliated with 20 churches. Some of them affiliated with five churches, bishops all across the area, Church of God in Christ, all the ministers, all denominations that understand us and are part of us, they're going to sign this scroll, and we're going to get this scroll developed to bring up to Washington and deliver to the president's office.
Now, this is going to be to get the president to perhaps check into why Mr. Feinberg is not paying the people as he should?
Well, that is one of our intentions. But the primary intentions we have is to allow him an awareness of what's taking place. We're not going to come and tell the president what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. We are coming up here in a positive manner to allow him the awareness of what's taking place, because sometimes that's the most appropriate way, and then decisions are made. And we feel as though that this is the steps that we're making right now, and we feel confident that this list will be prepared within a period of 2 weeks, because I have my schedule laid out to go into these places with these ministers, and we're meeting and getting it signed, getting these document signs. The signings of this document and developing the scroll.
Now, it's very commendable what you and the ministers are doing down in the Gulf, feeding the people. But now the ministers in the Gulf are having their challenges too, aren't they? I mean, because these are the very people who would attend their churches that they're trying to help now. So how does this impact the churches?
You're correct. This is exactly the impact. The oil spill has had a tremendous impact. And when I talk in terms of opening the community center there in Mount Vernon, that was one of the things that the church was doing. The church there was anticipating to open a community center, and that whole situation had to be scrapped. They had the layout, they had the plan, and it does us a lot of good because we can put together various other churches and various other groups that could come in, do the footing, and build the community center by stick. The same occurred there in the Gulf in Gulfport, Mississippi. That group there, that not only the ministers but the women, Ms. Thompson, who is I think is the one that's spearheading your situation to try to set up a chapter in that area. She is going to work with on us on the food bank, because that is in the middle of Louisiana as well as Alabama. So we will have all our food shipped there so that we would be able to carry some beans and staple goods over into these areas as often as possible for these people. And the ministers, too, are hurting. And then we're going to have the church over there in New Orleans set up for Dr. Clay, in order that we would have, because in Louisiana, we have about five areas where there's thousands of people that filled out claimants. And there are some people, if you may or may not have known, that did not fill out claims, that never had an opportunity to fill out claims. And they, too, are still hurting from the BP oil spill. And I must confess to you, as I go through the community, a number of these people, I've ran into their relatives, and at least five or ten of them has passed away within a period of a year and a half, and they was the breadwinners of the family.
Well, I want to thank you for giving that report, but before I let you go, I want to ask you, for those generous souls out there who might want to help, not only churches, but individuals who may want to help, is that something that would be welcomed at this point? And how can they do it? I know that we've asked listeners, if they had donations they wanted to give, they can simply go to nationalcongressbw.org, click on donations, and write in the memo section, Gulf oil spill, and we would make certain that it gets to where it has to go. That's just go to nationalcongressbw.org, click on donate, and in the memo section write Gulf oil spill. Now, do you have another way, let's say, if churches wanted to help out or individuals wanted to help out, that would go directly to you?
I would suggest they come directly to you, because most of the checks that we are taking in, checks are being paid directly to the grocery stores where we buy food. Also, the materials that we're going to purchase from Home Depot and other areas, we will have a check written directly to them from donors. Our checks will go into the store and be held in escrow the same way that we raise the money for the food. It goes into the grocery store, it held in escrow where they can continue to order the food. And believe it or not, we have a zero administrative budget. We have a zero expense budget. All we have is the fact of trying to serve and going thousands of miles all over the Gulf Coast region and working with the churches and working with black women. And believe me, we're working with the industry there in that region, and it works.
Wonderful. Now, I want to end on a note of talking about the fact that we have been demonstrating, we have been picketing British Petroleum, not only here in the United States, but we've also been to London to try to get the attention of those in charge and to get them to see the urgency of paying these poor people who've been injured by that oil spill. Tomorrow morning, that's Tuesday morning, Dick Gregory will be going on trial, and that brought you to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Also. This is the kind of sacrifice that people have been making to try to get the people paid. Now, in terms of you, you've been to jail before for demonstrating. Would you just give us a little bit of a touch of that, and again tomorrow, what you think might happen in Mr. Gregory's trial tomorrow? Now, I think most of our listeners know Dick Gregory and know that he has taken on the role of demonstrating and being the one often who goes to jail to call attention to a cause like this.
Well, it saddens me that this situation occurred about Dick Gregory even being incarcerated and going to jail. Particularly, it was no reason for this act to occur. We was told come to BP headquarters. We was told to come up to Feinberg's headquarters, and when we got there, they put him in jail. However, what his suffering has done has allowed us to really get the exposure and to expose BP, because there are so many people out there that is crying out because of the issue dealing with Dick Gregory. And so many people heard him on various national shows, and particularly the kickoff of the Tom Jordan show, that so many people was asking me over the weekend, how's Dick, what's going to happen? And I had to explain that to hundreds and hundreds of people in the Gulf Coast region at all of our stops. So therefore, I feel very confident that whatever has occurred, it has been God's will.
Yes.
And Dick is a person that believes in his will, and he does things in a very unified fashion. And he doesn't do things for Dick Gregory. He does it. He's been proven to be a person that represents the underserved and the underrepresented. And so do you, Dr. Williams.
Well, thank
you. I'm not worried, because God allows things to happen. You know, he allows evil things to occur. God, I believe, allowed the BP oil spill to occur. So therefore, a lot of things occur, but there will be more benefits from the situation. Through prayer and through direct action, we will prevail.
Well, thank you so much, Art, and all of us have been doing this at our own expense, on our own time, and we certainly welcome any help that we can get from our listeners. Again,
yes,
if you have donations you'd like to send to the Gulf Oil Spill, just go to nationalcongressbw.org. You can donate there by clicking on donate, and just click on donate and put in the amount that you'd like to give to this effort as we continue to try to get it resolved. Again, we thank you so much for your attention to this matter. This is a very urgent matter, and we thank Art Rocker for all of the hard work that he's been doing from the very beginning of this oil spill. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back, Art.
Now back to Celebrating Truth on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Thank you so much, Corey, and welcome back to Celebrating Truth, brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. There are so many awesome things going on in our community, but mainstream media has been too preoccupied with who's going to become the Republican nominee to find the good and praise it. But that doesn't mean anything is not happening in our communities. We have great things going on. So thank you for Celebrating Truth with us every Monday at 6 p.m., where we try to tell the stories that aren't so often told but need to be told. Among our listeners, I know there are many wonderful stories, and if you have a story to tell here on Celebrating Truth, call us at 202-678-6788 or email us at info@nationalcongressbw.org. That's info@nationalcongressbw.org, and we'll be happy to help you tell your story. We love to find the good and praise it here. And, you know, every week I try to end the program by saluting members of the National Congress of Black Women for the great work they do all across the country. You've just heard about what our members are doing down in Mobile, Alabama, and Gulfport, Mississippi, to help the victims of that oil spill. But we have members who are doing things all across the country. And this week's honoree, all of our leaders who do so much to make a difference in communities across the country. But our honoree for this week is from right here in Washington, D.C., where we are saluting Johnny Scott Rice, who is chair of the Metro D.C., a chapter of the National Congress of Black Women, and we look forward to a great year in 2012. While many others were celebrating a period, her chapter chose to have a birthday party for me, a Christmas party for all, and a fundraiser all in one for the benefit of the new National Congress of Black Women's Office Furnishings Fund. People like her make things happen in their communities. So our hat goes off to you, Johnny Scott Rice. How are you today, my sister?
I'm fine. How are you, Dr. Williams?
Oh, blessed and highly favored. Just finished celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, and I know you've done the same today.
Yes, yes. I was so happy to see the War Day Parade back today.
Mm-hmm.
We had over 200 bands out there today.
Wow.
And it just felt like home again. It felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. Well, my sister wasn't too happy that you didn't make it to her annual Martin Luther King program.
I know.
Yeah, but at least we know you out there doing things in honor
cold,
of Dr.
Cold.
Yes, yes.
But it was worth it.
I don't think she would have wanted to trade places with you. But I want you to tell us a little bit about your chapter. I know you have a big event coming up soon.
Yes, we do. We have our annual, this will be our fifth annual Shirley Chisholm Trailblazers Award. And we give this award once a year, and we give it during the Black History Women's Month so that people will hear about her, because there are so many young people that don't know anything about her, and we need to remind them of our history. And today is a good day because they're being reminded of Dr. King. On the 17th of March, they'll be reminded of Shirley Chisholm and our founding leader, and hear of her accomplishments to help us as Black women get into the political arena and do the things that we were made to do and able to do because of her leadership and the leadership of Dr. Tucker. They were our first two leaders. So we do this award, and this year we're going to honor Coach Natalie Randolph from Coolidge High School.
Here in Washington?
Yes, here in Washington, the very first woman football coach of a high school football team. She also is a classroom teacher. We're going to honor our wonderful activist who supports our organization, the Honorable Dick Gregory. He has done so much, and he has done so much for this organization and for our people. He was out there today. I saw him out there at the King statue today with Reverend King's son and our mayor, and they were laying the wreath. He is there. So, you know, it's time to say thank you to those that have done the things that helped us all, Black, white, Asian, Native American. And that's who he is. And he brings his own spirit and the spirit of all of those that have gone, and nobody can tell the story like Dick Gregory.
Now, you know, sometimes we have people around in our community who's doing so much that we just kind of forget that they don't have to do those things, and we forget to honor them. So I think that's why it's so important that you're honoring someone like him, because we get so accustomed to seeing him. He attends all of our activities
mm-hmm.
at the national level as well as, you know, at the local level. And many times it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's Dick Gregory. And it gets to be to a place where
you take it for granted.
Yes, 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 yes.
And, uh-huh. and we can't take this man for granted because he has so much to offer
mm-hmm.
and so much he has given.
And, yeah.
and so he's going to receive our Good Brother Award. And so, and we have Lynn Brantley from the D.C. Area Food Bank, who runs the D.C. Area Food Bank. So we will have a wonderful luncheon. The tickets are only $50 a person. The sponsor tables is only $2,000. That gives them 10 tickets and recognition in our program and acknowledgement from the podium. And then we have the $1,500 tickets that will include a supporter and sponsorship. That'll give them 5 tickets at a table. So, and then we have the Friends Luncheon, and those tickets are $500. That'll give them 2 tickets and recognition in the program. So we do, and this money goes to some of this year, now that we are buying our own place, some of it will go to our housing fund, and the remainder will go to our children's fund that we use, and we have the youth awardee each and every year.
And I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear Dr. Art Rocker, who was on with me just preceding you. We were talking about the poor people who are suffering down in the Gulf Coast. And, of course, Mr. Gregory is going to court tomorrow because he was demonstrating on their behalf. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow morning he'll be before the judge as a result of, you know, that demonstration. I'm sure he doesn't mind being there. But those of us who have been working, we know how difficult it is for the people in the South. And Dr. Rocker's group, Operation People for Peace, has been purchasing food and taking it around to people all across the South. So I hope sometime soon our chapters can get together and raise some funds for that. It's truly a great cause.
And it's needed.
Yes. Now, I know that you've sort of retired. Like me, you know, you retired, but you go right back to work doing public service. Well, why is it so important to do public service?
Well, the main thing about public service is you're helping your community. It's not like you are being paid to do this. You're doing this to better your communities. And the only people that people care about are those that they live around. So if you are in your community, your neighbors know the safe house in the community, the kids know the safe house, they know who to call to get help from the government when they need help from the city services. These are the things, and it also makes you know your neighbors. People today, they were just talking on the news tonight about these kids getting run over by buses and cars because they're walking around with these earpieces in their ears. They don't talk anymore. They text. No verbal communication. They need to do that. And when you do public service, you got to speak to people. You can't talk to them on the Internet. You've got to go in their offices and sit down and talk to them. Like we do a teenage mentoring program over here in Ward 7 with Charter Health, the Congress of Black Women. And you can't teenage mentor on text. They need to see your face. They need to see you really care about them. So public service gives you an opportunity to meet other people from other places with some of the same similarities that you think you might be going through. And it makes lifelong friends.
And when you're blessed, it's so important that you give back also.
Oh,
like
no
giving
question.
Back for your blessing.
No question. And I am a third-generation Washingtonian now. Be 71 years old on the 23rd of this month. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be like Betty White. I'm going to be around.
I sometimes tell people, you know, who may know Mr. Gregory a bit, I said, and he's so generous. I said, he'll give his last dollar to anybody. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't have it, he'll turn around and borrow it from me and give mm-hmm. it to them anyway. So he's like that. And I think people who engage in public service or community service, I think they're happier than other people because they find something useful to do with their lives.
And not only that, but when you see him, he's a peaceful spirit.
Yes.
He always, when I see him, it's like, I didn't see you yesterday, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always positive. He's always got a history lesson for you. And he makes sure we don't forget.
Wonderful.
And that's what we've got to all do. Tell our story. I'm so glad that the Park Service is going to put the correct wording on that statue.
Okay.
Because it bothered me. They've taken so much from our people, and this generation can't sit back and let them take more, because that's why our children don't understand our history, because it was never written true.
All right, well.
And we've got to learn, keep spreading that word, and that's what Dick Gregory does.
Well, thank you so much. I want to thank you, and I want to congratulate you on being the National Congress of Black Women's Member of the Week.
Well,
so just
thank you.
Keep on keeping on.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. And to our, we were talking with Johnny Scott Rice, chair of the National Congress of Black Women here in Washington, D.C., and she was our Member of the Week. To our listeners, we encourage you to join as members of the National Congress of Black Women. When you look around the country and you think about community service at its best, we want you to know that's the National Congress of Black Women, because we are truly women making a difference in our communities. So join us by calling 202-678-6788. We'd love to have you in our sisterhood. Or you may also go on our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org. Also join us on Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Sirius XM Radio for Mark Thompson's show, Make It Plain. I have the honor of co-hosting the Wednesday segment on women. So plan now to be with us next year for our annual awards brunch, when we will again meet in Washington, D.C., Sunday morning, September 23rd, following the Congressional Black Caucus. We have a lot of great information on our website, so we hope you'll go there. We hope you will listen to Urban Radio 2000 when you go to our website at nationalcongressbw.org. So take a look at some of our projects like College for Kids, Young Ambassadors, and others. And we hope you will want to donate to them. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then. We love you. God bless you.